So, hello Mada, it's the first time that we have contact. Thank you very much for being available for an interview for Here Now TV. You are in Vancouver. We are normally, we have a German website, which is Jetzt.tv, which is our main site. Here Now TV is more for the English teachers or persons who want to share. How would you be available for German people?
That's a very good question. Well, because I don't speak German, obviously, that's a little bit difficult, but I think most German people speak English.
Yes.
Which makes things a lot easier. And, of course, one way to be available is through books, which hopefully is going to, my book will be published in German. And more excitedly, the second book, which has actually a practical method that people can work with. So that's one way to be available. And, of course, another way to be available is the world is a small place. People can travel. I can travel. Others can travel. So that's good.
So you would be ready to travel to Germany to give some trainings or make yourself available for activities of what kind? What would you be ready, what would you be available for?
Well, I am a very practical teacher, and I have a method that I've devised, which is a method both for healing and transformation, and it's a fast-forward way to actually get to that silence, stillness, or experience the mystical, the enlightened, the awakened self very quickly. So every time in history brings certain people that carry some kind of a blueprint, some kind of a technique that they can share. And this is one such technique. Buddha brought the Vipassana, which enlightened more people than any other technique. And Osho brought active meditations, which helped to enlighten me personally. And of course, many other people that have practiced Osho's active meditations. And now it's the next step, which is with this method. It's called Dalian Method, DM for short. And what it does, it's interesting, we're jumping straight into the method. What it does is, first of all, allows you to yourself, this is the part which is very important, gives the power into your own hands so that you yourself can go into your unconscious very quickly, see what is repressed, what kind of thought patterns are in the energy in the body, what kind of emotions that are repressed in the body, in the energy, and identify them and quickly release them through the entire body. And as we're doing that, we're also releasing the contradictory thoughts and emotions and patterns, thought patterns. And as a result, it's like removing the layers of the clouds. As the clouds disperse, the sun automatically shines. And the sun is within each person. The consciousness is within each person. And the consciousness is what has the power to transform fear, to transform pain, to transform basically all the struggles that we as humans know as a human condition. So, yeah.
So, is it necessary that you personally give assistance in this process? Or I read one of your books where I had the impression, well, this is very nicely drawn out. So all the elements are there. There are a lot of proposals and suggestions what to do, how to practice. It is almost a guideline. That's how, at least as I understood it. And of course, I have a little bit of tendency to be autodidactic. Yeah?
Well, the first book, In Search of the Miraculous, that you speak of, it is like a map. It is like a guidebook to show people step by step the pitfalls and how it is important to develop and strengthen the ego first, before it can let go of. This is a very important point that many times it's missed. And that book is a classic for generations because When I was doing my personal work, I always had that inner unrest and angst, like mm-hmm. they say, in that I knew that I wanted to reach somewhere. Obviously, we all hear teachers say enlightenment, so it's a goal, we want to reach it. And there is that inner anxiety that continually happens because you don't know what am I supposed to do to get there. And of course, we cannot do anything other than try, but then we have to let go. And we don't understand the mechanism. So for me, I've been a very scientific person in a sense that I've always explored myself, watched to see what's happening inside me. And with that, and with the work that I did one-on-one with people afterwards, I saw that there is actually everything in existence is mathematical. Everything is scientific. So is our transformation in enlightenment. So then I tried to make it very clear, and this is where I think German people would appreciate this a lot, because Germans have a very, very clear, logical mind, and they can understand this. And that's where I resonate a lot with German people. I love German people because, you know, that kind of approach. So this book, In Search of Miracles, gives that step by step, also understanding how the ego develops, how we need to develop it. Instead of making it a problem, we need to befriend it and understand that there is a part that I call the wounded ego. And the wounded ego, obviously, is all those things that we struggle with, the insecurities, fear, the pain, the unrest, everything to do with the part of the ego, with the part of the mind that does not know itself. Basically, the mind does not know itself. That's why it's just working. The moment consciousness comes and understands the mind, this is where the mind stops. So understanding the process of the mind is very important in my view, and understanding the linear function of the mind is important. And so that book does that and brings you all the way to the point of how would it even feel when the mind is starting to crumble. And so that there is an understanding what prevents awakening, what prevents enlightenment, is ultimately fear. It's a fear of death. So if we don't do anything and work with the fear, enlightenment is guaranteed. Fear of death is what prevents people from wanting to do the work. Fear of death is what makes people, keeps them in attachment. So they stay attached to the material world, they stay attached to people, they stay attached to things. It's all to do with the fear of death, and of course fear of death is what? It's the fear of ego to die. So all that work can be done with the method which is coming up as a second book. You don't have it yet. Mm-hmm. So the second book, and it will come with two and a DVD that would explain how to work with it. And what the method is, I've been working with it personally with people one-on-one, and I never thought that I'll be actually doing any healing work because that never was my interest. And obviously my background also being in education and architecture, which has nothing to do with healing. I never, even as a youngster, never been interested in healing. But it just so happened that after my experience of enlightenment and having a time to process it, I just spontaneously came across a gift I had as a child, which was to be able to read thought forms in people's energies. And that in combination with compassion, I would say, this is the main ingredient that made me actually go into healing work, slowly developed, I started working with people, and slowly this method became, almost revealed itself. And it's a very simple method, but it's extremely powerful. And to me, the most simple things are the most powerful. Just like Vipassana, just watching your breath is the simplest thing you can do, yet it's the most powerful.
Okay. Is it necessary that you are present in this process and read these thought forms in your clients, or can they come behind their thought forms themselves and release them or integrate them?
Very good question. So initially, for the past 20 years, obviously I was working personally with people. And then I started feeling that I need to make this method available to everyone without me being there.
Okay.
So there, I started working on a self-healing version of it. And I tested it with many people in the past 2-3 years. I worked with this in groups, tested it, and tested to individuals singularly. And I was amazed to see how powerfully it works, even though when I'm not there, people are still able to identify what these thought forms are. All they need to do is they need to be given direction. And because it's a system, and I can easily guide the system. So that's what I'm doing now with the self-healing version. I guide you through the system, and the rest you can do yourself. Basically, all you need is the recording, and you're good to go. You don't need me.
Okay. Would you be available for Skype sessions with clients? Would that be a way of having contact with people, or is that too indirect for such a healing session?
I do phone or Skype sessions, yes, and okay. It's equally powerful because I can read thought forms even over the phone. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned the word enlightenment. Could you describe what that means for you?
Well, I can only describe my experience.
Mm.
Because it's not a theoretical thing for me. The experience is, my experience was, it happened in the moment when I said, today is a good day to die. When basically I was ready to let go of everything, let go of physical life as we know it. And I was extremely exhausted at that time because I was in at the ranch in Oregon.
Osho, the Muddy Waters Ranch or what?
I was extremely exhausted. We were working really hard to get that place happening. So, and of course, working then, I was very much focused. My main focus, actually, the whole time I was with Osho was meditation. So no matter how tired I am, I had to go to do my meditation. And, of course, you know, the dynamic and the kundalini, that was a must for me to do. And then the discourse at night. And at that time, Osho was speaking in his room. So we were listening to him on the video. So in the morning, I would do my meditation. Then I would go to work. So we would, each one of us will have our work to do. And then in the evening, kundalini. And then I will go to discourse. And then, actually, many times we will go eat after the discourse, which is 10 o'clock, 10:30. And then wake up again, 5 o'clock in the morning. So this was my routine for many, many months. And one day I was so physically exhausted that I said, that's it. I know that what's stopping me is the fear, because I've many times have come to it. I've come to realize my ego being very afraid to die. And that was the physical exhaustion in a way helped. I said, that's it. Now, today, if I'm going to die, I'm ready. And interestingly enough, that was in the during the Osho dynamic meditation. So the first phase is the breathing, which went in a way started happening on its own, and then the second phase, catharsis, the music just did whatever it was doing. I was completely in a let go, and suddenly in that let go, what happened is my whole body turned into light. It was like an explosion happened inside, and in that explosion, I call it the inner Big Bang. It was like a Big Bang. And in that explosion, my entire body turned into light. There was the sense of it was like a thousand suns suddenly rose inside, and there was no body left. And in that transformation into complete light, you see, I felt like I'm standing in light. And in that transformation, there was an awareness that the whole universe is made of joy, that there is absolutely no separation between anything whatsoever. In other words, no separation between people, things, animals, stars, nothing in the universe. There's absolutely no separation. And everything that we see with our eyes exists because of the joy of creation. That's all. And everything material is simply an illusion of something that is seen or sensed, but underneath that, it's the joy, the core of everything is joy. Because it arose out of creation. This is the thing. Even our body, it arose out of creation. It's a man and a woman meet, and it's creation. There's a joy behind it. There's the foundation of everything. Joy is creation. So this is what people started calling God, but this is it. And I didn't know where to go. This was like, oh my God, there's nothing I need to do. This was that big sigh of, oh, I've been looking like an idiot for something that I already am. It's already here. And yes, I've heard many times Osho say, you are it, and you know, you are the goal, but of course, intellectually, you try to understand it, and it's impossible to understand it till you have the experience, and then all you can do is laugh at yourself for being to work in a way, knowing that there's nowhere to go. I can only be here. There's nowhere I could be. So that was the experience, and I think Buddha coined the word enlightenment because he had a similar experience of absolute light. And it's interesting that his experience also happened when his body was exhausted. And so there must be something, some kind of a correlation there between physical exhaustion and that experience. And that's why when I do my workshops, I really like to push people and really bring them to the edge, because that's how the mind is finally going to get confused and let go.
Mm-hmm. That is one experience, and I also had experiences, and I maybe did not have this light experience, but I had an opening when I was at the point of intentional total surrender. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Total surrender. Yeah? And then visions came, yeah? and suddenly it was seen being judgmental doesn't make sense. Yeah? There is at that time, the divine, I called it, yeah, is in everything. So which sense can it make to be judgmental? Yeah? And that's got a whole thing rolling. Yeah? And after liberation from a trauma and a couple of years of videos I started watching because nobody could help me. I did not understand what had happened. I got in contact with Jay Krishnamurti. I heard about Osho. I was in Pune for a week. And in Pune, I saw that bliss is all there ever is, which is very similar to what you describe now. I did not see myself in life, but I saw suddenly twice or three times in the middle of the street, there's only bliss. This is bliss, and joy, and that was it. That was it. So surrendering, that started, got it rolling, and then it's spontaneous. It's hard to make it. I never managed to bring someone to that experience. I mean,
that's interesting. On my treatment table, I've had many people come to that experience on a treatment table.
Okay.
Why? Because once those patterns, the ego, the thought forms, I call them thought forms and beliefs, once they're released, this is the magic. Consciousness is within a person, is always there. And suddenly the consciousness comes and the laughter comes. Because suddenly there's an awareness, realization of, oh my God, everything I'm identified with, I'm not it. Suddenly there's an awareness of the being, which is that emptiness inside.
Yeah.
And
what?
This is the only truth.
Yes. I, at one stage, I speculated even that this word enlightenment might not be related to light, but to losing something, which is the thought forms. The belief thoughts.
That's how people interpret the word enlightenment right now. But literally, the word came from Buddha because of that literal experience of light.
Okay, I did not know.
My experience. So that's why the mind wants to have some experience. You see, because prior to that, I've had experiences also where, and again, in Osho meditations, in the Kundalini meditation, and this was early on, maybe about two years into the practice, where suddenly everything disappeared, my body disappeared, I was dancing, it was during the dance was happening, I wanted to feel my body, but there was nothing. It was absolute emptiness. There was no arm, no leg, no head, but a dancing was happening and a realization that I am. And that emptiness is within every existing being or thing. Even the thing has that emptiness within it. But see, that many people have that similar experience, they call it enlightenment. But to me, that the second experience is what more created that absolute experience of the light or enlightenment, literally.
Yes. What I would even say, this I am state, this is still a trap. So in my feeling, in my perception, in my experience, in the end, there is no need that anything be. Not even for being there is a need. This is all concept of mind. So even that there is anything is not necessary. It's on the level of concept of mind. So drop it. And drop it.
There's many levels there's many levels of understanding. And it's really important to recognize that, because when we speak of one level of experience, we the mind immediately thinks this is it. But this is not it, because even enlightenment is it's not it. It's not the end.
So is there an end?
There is no end. This is the thing. The journey is the goal.
No
and
end.
The learning never ends. This is another thing that many people don't understand. They think I'll become enlightened and that's it. Everything will be hunky-dory and I don't need to do anything. Well, no. Even enlightened people learn. I've seen Osho change in the years that I've been with him. I've seen him learn things. I know for myself, I learn every day. I learn something new every day because I'm still experiencing things. I'm not dead. And after I leave this body, I'm still going to continue learning. So the learning never ends. The only thing that makes a difference is the fear of death. As we know it, as many people think I'm not afraid, but they don't understand what fear of death means. Fear of death means transcending that fear of death means transcending the fear of survival that is inbuilt in the body. It's not an intellectual thing. It's something that is inbuilt into the physical body, and that's how you transcend the body. When you transcend that fear of survival, that is a part of the program of the survival mechanism of the body.
Is this part of your treatments or your practices? I think so, yeah?
That is part of it, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
How much time do you spend on that one? For example, I had such an, again, as an experience it came, which I would describe as that falling away of the fear of death. Yeah. I suddenly had a deep insight, yeah, when you act out of the center, I did not even know what that means at that time. Yeah. It does not matter if the body is dead or alive. And that was so clear. It was so clear. And since then, I cannot sense any fear of death anymore. It's impossible. But that was just a quick insight, and I thought that was luck. Lucky to come to that point. I think for many people this is not so easy, isn't it?
Well, having glimpses like that, obviously you've been on a journey. You're not a new, you're not just started on the journey. You've been on a journey for a long time before this life as well.
Okay, then we come to the next point, which is reincarnation. that is another subject that I would like to discuss with you. Okay, but please continue, sorry.
I had those experiences, yeah? You've had those experiences in the past, so you have them again, and those are glimpses. However, there's still deeper experience to be had with that. Still, the body, I know that for myself, when I remembered past lives, I've been with masters for many, many lifetimes. I've worked on myself, on the journey to enlightenment or self-realization for many lifetimes. And I also know that I've missed for a simple thing that fear of death. I've had many experiences, many glimpses of not being afraid, but the physical fear of death it's almost like brings you to another level of experience. I don't know if I'm able to describe this properly, but for example, people have near-death experiences, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize that, oh, I cannot die. I had mm-hmm. a near-death experience also. This was way before I had my other experiences. So I realized I was going through a tunnel. I realized I cannot die. I came back. It was blissful. I was present. I realized I'm not dead. And this is very blissful. But then when I came back into my body, the life as I knew it continued. And the fear of death I still experienced physically before I had the experience of enlightenment as I described before. So even though I had the near-death experience, I knew I will not die. Intellectually, I knew, but physically, the instinct of survival still was another door to cross. So there's depth and depth and depth into the experience. So that's why I say, whatever experiences we have, glimpses we have, they show us, they give us a little bit courage, a little bit more courage to go deeper and to continue with the exploration. Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
Just imagine for a moment, you're in the middle of the ocean, and they're like humongous waves, and the ocean is just sucking you in. Do you think you're not going to feel the fear of death? Of course you're going to feel the fear of death.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
In the safari, and suddenly a lion is coming, you know.
the body will be alert. Yeah, sure.
The fear is going to be there, absolutely. That's the moment where, in that moment is where there is a gift of another layer of transformation. Yeah? And why do we need to go through those layers is because this is how then you become a cosmic, you go into cosmic consciousness. You become equipped to travel through cosmos. Because cosmos is huge, and not only that, the darkness within it is huge. And to travel through that darkness and to travel through the cosmos, you need that level of courage that only those layers of experiences can bring you. You see? Because we stay stuck around the earth, and that's all we do.
I don't know if I get you on this point. You say traveling through the cosmos.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I studied physics when I was a student. Yeah. So fundamentally, I have a diploma in physics, and I know that time and space and matter are not independent, and actually they do not exist. They are just concepts of mind. So what is cosmos then? Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm struggling with such definitions. What is cosmos then?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Everything is in the universe. We have one. We're in this solar system.
Yes.
Yeah. And physically, we have to manifest somehow into some kind of a form to have
experience. So, yeah.
Yeah. Without the form, we cannot have experiences.
Yes.
We need to have some kind of a form. And to manifest into a form in a different solar system, in a different galaxy, we need the courage to be able to actually withstand what that solar system or what consciousness or what life on that solar system resonates at. It's all a matter of vibration. So
I understand. I can understand this. Yeah? So no problem with that.
Yeah.
So
the Earth has a certain vibrational field. In order to be in a different vibrational field, we need to have a certain preparation and preparedness for it. Yeah?
So you say after death, or what do you say?
So the
body drops, yeah, and then consciousness or somehow I do not even know what I mean. It is an appearance in this bliss only, the body. Yeah, so cannot be energy. More.
You also have energy. You have life force. Yeah, that life force can travel.
Yeah, but again, it's an appearance, isn't it?
it's an appearance on a different vibrational level, but it can still travel. For example, you take a plane and you go from Germany and you come to Vancouver.
Yeah, so you're would be fun for me. Yeah?
We have sunshine today. We haven't had very sun for today. Yeah. So you bring your physical appearance, yeah, your body. You travel with it. You travel with your life force, although your consciousness never travels anywhere.
Of course not.
We need to understand the difference there. Consciousness never travels. It's always here now. So wherever you are physically, your consciousness is there, and your consciousness is also present cosmically everywhere, no matter where your body is, no matter where you are, because there's always levels and layers to energy, to awareness, to even self-realization. There's so many different layers to it.
And in the end of the day, it is the reverse way from the embodiment or the form creation, yeah, the form creation, and you are talking now the way back, as I understand, yeah, so, somehow, yeah. But in my understanding, time and space do not matter at all, yeah, so because they are concepts. Essentially, they do not exist.
They're concepts. However, physically, energetically, it does exist. In a sense that
it is created by consciousness, yeah?
Consciousness doesn't create anything. Consciousness only knows. Yeah? That's the thing. Consciousness cannot create it. It just knows. And out of that knowing, everything arises. Creation happens through energy, not through consciousness. Consciousness still is a witness of that creation.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the witness. The witness is, it has no form, no shape, no energy, because even energy is not, it's something other than the witness.
Concept again. Yeah.
It's more concept, but still, witnessing is where the void, the zero point is. Let's say the zero point, as they say in physics too, the zero point energy, yeah? Or the zero point, the vacuum.
Yeah.
If we equate the vacuum to witness, the vacuum is in the vacuum, nothing happens. Yes?
But fundamentally, yes, there are some modern concepts regarding vacuum where they say even there are quantum and the movement is happening there. But I believe I know the point that you want to point me to. That is just, I would describe it a little bit differently. What I saw at one stage is experiencing is like a movie running all the time, but there is nobody who sees it, yeah? And this place against which the movie is running, or in front of which the movie is running, yeah? That's the best that I could give as a description for me, yeah? If there is any, yeah? So total void, yeah? So to say, yeah.
You're absolutely right, because even in the witness, there is still the awareness of I am,
yes,
witnessing.
But there is no awareness of the I am anymore. Yeah?
Exactly, and that's what Osho calls beyond enlightenment. And that's the state of, for example, in deep sleep, there is just that void. There's nobody.
One could say, yeah, but in deep sleep there is still, it is there in deep sleep and during full awakeness. This is the fix, I don't find words. It is not a point. It is this. It is what can I say? I mean, that in front of which the movie runs, and the movie being the whole universe, or as many universes as one can imagine. The whole thing runs in front of this. But this is not describable. It is not. I don't know. I don't, it's just the movie runs in front of this. More I cannot say. At the moment, I cannot say more.
Well, the thing is, though, yes, that is so, and it's indescribable, but the thing is that those concepts just do not help people, you see.
Yes.
They're simply intellectual concepts. People listen to it, and they go, huh? And how's that going to help me? How's that going to change my life?
That does not help at all. I know this is experience, and either you experience it or not. As long as you don't experience it, you cannot even understand what we are talking about.
Exactly. And it's in a way useless even. Useless.
Yes.
Because
totally useless, yeah.
And in my view, what's really more important is how can people practically have those small experiences so that their scope of vision starts expanding, so that their consciousness increases, and obviously, as that happens, your life changes, your enjoyment of life, because all those concepts, you know, they're useless simply because we have life and we can't live it. What use of the concept if I can't enjoy my life, if I can't live my life freely with no fear? Yeah. So therefore, we need to go back into just the basic things. Working with how can I transform my unconsciousness. That's why when I do my teachings, I don't really try to make it too complicated. I try to stay very simple. Very simple and accessible that, okay, everybody can understand unconsciousness. Everybody can understand, yes, I want to live my life more fully. Yes, mm-hmm. I want an experience of something beyond my mind. All those things are understandable, and what needs to happen, basically, if we look at life on the planet, it's not a pretty life. There's 7 billion people, and 7 billion people that are only contributing into pain and suffering. So, to me, what's most important is how to heal that pain and suffering, how to transform the pain and suffering. That's my main focus in all my work. Because once that happens, everything else will happen automatically and people will have their realizations and whatever they need to do. It's the first steps that people need to take to cultivate that courage so that they can go deeper, they can feel excited to explore their unconscious. They can feel excited about the journey instead of being afraid and being dread that, you know, I don't want to lose what I have if I'm going to go on this journey. So that slowly there's an awareness is, okay, I'm with this person, I'm sharing my life. I know that it's temporary, it's not forever. And so therefore I can give more of myself, I can love more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have hold back on loving. I don't have to hold back on living. That's what's most important, because we have this experience as humans. We have a body. So we're here to enjoy it, to understand it, and to live it fully. And the rest will take care of itself. I'm totally not concerned about helping people to understand and intellectually, you know, consciousness is, or what enlightenment is, or what all these concepts are. Yeah, it's good to know that there's something more, at least intellectually, but then, okay, so we know. Let's now get practical.
Yeah, it's not practical at all. Yeah? It is nice, and these transformations and insights, they are very moving when they are had, when one has such seeings, but in the end of the day, it's not helpful. I totally agree with what you say. Totally agree.
Even if just, Yeah, even listening to gurus is helpful to a point, but that's as far as it could go.
Yeah, I think it is an encouragement that opens spaces. Yeah, so it could be totally different to what I'm experiencing in my day-to-day life, struggling with my partner or whatever it is, with work, or I don't know, whatever it could be for the ordinary people. So it could open a space, but not more, or potential. Yeah? There are some people who can help out or can reduce suffering, yeah? And some can live almost free from suffering. So there are these examples like Buddha, yeah, but nothing more. And then the
Exactly. So, and I think, in my view, that many people have already come to an intellectual understanding of the need to do this kind of work, and mm-hmm. at least have some idea of where the goal is, quote unquote, and now they need practical work to get there. So the first step is always intellectual. We need to understand, obviously, and that's why listening to talks is good. It's helpful, and the next step is to do the work. Yeah, and the thing is that many people shy away from doing the work because they don't understand that doing the work is very exciting. It's not a big, you know, heavy duty. Thing. It's exciting to start knowing yourself. It's yeah. very entertaining too.
It's a self travel inside. It's a trip inside oneself.
Exactly.
It's really amazing what can be found there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So people would either read your books or have the sessions with you, or do you also train trainers?
This is the next step in my work. I'm going to start training people to facilitate the DM method. So as soon as the second book is out, I'll be training facilitators so they can pass it on and to show other people to how to work with it, because it's always helpful when we see somebody show something, mm-hmm. and it's really, once we see it once, then it's easy to continue doing on your own. So that's what I'm going to be doing, training facilitators who can show people how to take it. It's there, and once they've done it once, they've asked the questions that they need to ask, then they can continue doing it on their own. And the nice thing is you can do it for anything, any kind of an issue. So it could be physical issue, mm-hmm. just pain or illness or any kind of physical ailment, because it does help to heal that. And the healing happens permanently, which is very exciting. And or you could do it for any kind of emotional issue, mental issue. So the method works on all the four levels: mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. So it combines all those areas.
Okay, can you give a flavor of how it works fundamentally?
Yes. So once you identify the thought forms, for example, if you have an issue. So if you want, we can try it. If you have an issue, think of something that you feel you've tried, there is a blockage, you feel some kind of a either physical blockage or an emotional, mental blockage, something you've been trying but still not quite sure how to break through. So first thing, you'll identify that.
Okay, so let me think a little bit. Let's just play, yeah? Let's see. Okay, I got one. And that is probably a combination of all possible things. The symptom is I'm a little bit overweight. The whole life, yeah? So through the whole life. Yeah?
You don't look overweight to me, but okay, if you say
yeah,
so.
I am.
So it's been something that bothered you.
It has bothered me, and I'm wondering where does it come from, and I have some suspicion. Yeah? So it seems to be a protection thing or a thing to keep distance between me and others. Yeah? So that is the suspicion. Yeah?
Your suspicion is correct. I mean, if I was to identify for you here, the cause is that you're actually... that there is fear to, you're very sensitive and you're very cuddly. So there's that fear to open that sensitivity, to open yourself to
what let people. What does the word cuddly mean?
Cuddly.
how is it spelled?
To cuddle. Cuddle means hug. You know, hug and cool, that kind of thing.
I know, I get it. Oh, you are right. I didn't know this word.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
So, and the world is not made for people like that, you see. The world is very contrary. The world... when somebody's open and sensitive, there's almost difficulty to live in this harsh environment of competition and, you know, control. Obviously, as a child, you have the intelligence to see that I have to protect myself. I cannot really show my sensitivity. I cannot open up because that need to share with people. When you don't have the separation, when your basic instinct of me, which is the beginning of the development of the ego, when it's not there, when you're more advanced, of course you want to share. You want to, share love, you want to share your being, you want to share yourself, but the world is not saying, oh yes, welcome, I want to cuddle you back.
Okay.
Oh no, I have to compete with you. So it's difficult. It's difficult to live in a world like that when you're sensitive. So the way it is sort of to protect yourself, to protect your sensitivity. So now that's a belief that is ingrained in your physical body as a child, from your childhood, because as a child you had the intelligence, and every child comes with absolute intelligence that, you know, before it's destroyed. And the child knows that, if I behave this way, this would, what would happen? I have to survive, so I need to adapt. Yeah. So then you need something to adapt, because you made a conclusion that people are, they're not able to receive me. They don't understand me. I'm too sensitive. They don't understand me. So then you close. You made that conclusion. What is that conclusion? It's a belief based on your experience. That belief, the conclusion, no one understands me or the world is dangerous, is a thought form that is imprinted in your body.
Yes.
And the body is like the bottom of the iceberg that carries the weight of where the energy goes. No matter how much you know intellectually with your head, it's not going to help till you go into that belief in the body and release it. So with this method, we go and it works through the whole body. So you identify the thought, for example, and maybe you know the thought already. Let's see. Now, we use the breath to identify it.
Okay.
do that. So if you breathe into your belly, just breathe to your belly, and as you're breathing in, just connect with that thought that you had as a child. See if you could connect with that. You need to take a lot of breath.
A lot of breath.
Okay. So that's how you stopped feeling and started putting on weight because you stopped your breathing. And exhale. And a nice big exhalation out through your feet, body is felt. Okay, so what comes to your awareness in terms of the first thought that comes to your awareness? What is it?
It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear comes out.
Yeah. You see, the experience you've had as a child, I'm alone. So there is that sense which is also connected. Of course, the fear will be there. I'm alone. Do you recall that?
It's just pure fear at the moment.
Yeah.
I had a trauma which was a tough one that was related to the belief my mother does not understand me. Yeah.
Yeah.
When that one was hit, I had pain in each cell of the body. Yeah? So this is an old known. It's an old friend of mine, you know, this area.
Yeah. So now the way we're going to clear it, the way we'll clear it, and it's an hour and a half process, just to give you a little taste here, just say out loud, when you're breathing in, just say out loud, I'm afraid, and exhale.
During breathing in, I cannot talk.
No, you first in, and please use German. That's your mother tongue, yes? So, use German.
I have Angst.
Uh-huh.
I have Angst.
And exhale. See, stopping your exhalation. You're not exhaling. So, first breathe in. I'm afraid. Exhale.
Ich habe Angst.
So now even I'm afraid, you're doing like a question mark. I'm afraid? No, you have to say I'm afraid.
I see it has to come with the feeling, yeah? So.
Well, it has to come. This is where it stays in the body. You need to release it. So, and remember you said earlier to me that you're not afraid because you experienced that you cannot die. So now.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Yeah. This is where the fun starts, yeah? That's why I was so surprised. I thought, oh, fear, where does it come from? I thought I was beyond that, but it's there. It's definitely there.
Good. So let's try it again. Breathe in, say it, exhale. So breathe in first, nice big breath in the belly.
Ich habe Angst. It doesn't come, it doesn't resonate it.
Good. In.
Ich habe Angst.
And now exhale out through your feet as you're saying that. So breathe in.
Ich habe Angst.
Really big exhalation. Nice big exhalation.
Ich habe Angst. Laughing is another strategy.
Oh, good.
Ich habe Angst.
Excellent. So now what's happening? Your consciousness is already coming in after you've released this, that it's ridiculous, this is funny. Can you feel that? Yeah.
Yes.
Just say it. It's ridiculous. I'm afraid it's funny.
It's ridiculous. It's funny, yeah?
But can you feel that your whole body relaxed and that
yes.
thought that was in the body imprinted, suddenly, the moment it was released, it's like, how to explain this? It's a cloud. So the cloud is covering your eyes. You don't see. Yeah?
Yes.
My hands are the thought form, and I'm not seeing. The moment I say it and I release it, I can see. So once I can see, this cannot come back and cover my eyes because
It is seen.
There is also awareness that comes with it that, oh, this is ridiculous because actually I'm not afraid. But then the whole body gets it, not just the head.
Now this breathing down to the feet, I really could sense it, that this had made a difference in the body. I could clearly sense it.
And so the method will take you through the whole body, actually, with the different parts, the head, from the head to the feet, and front and the back, to clear that experience from the whole body. And it's absolutely permanent. And what happens, that the pattern of putting on weight to cover up the sensitivity, I'm alone, because there's other things there, not just fear. I'm alone, and there's other things connected to that experience. So once all that is released from the entire body, then you wouldn't need the pattern of putting on the weight to protect will not be there anymore. So therefore the weight will not come on anymore. It's that quick, that simple. So very soon it's coming out, maybe beginning of 2013 it will be out, and I would love to see as many people as possible to use this method, because first you can do it yourself just through simple guidance on the CD. Then once you transform, your energy will start emanating. It's like, this is how we help each other. It's like a ripple effect. My awareness of my purpose, so to speak, we all have some kind of a purpose when we come here. We want to do something. And my awareness was that I came here from another planet, and I fell in love with the planet Earth. But the reason I came here is because I wanted to help to heal the pain that is surrounding the planet. And this method is sort of like a culmination of many lifetimes of my journey on this planet. That it's now, I'm giving this back because at first I thought I'll do this one by one with people, and then I was doing that one by one with people and taking on their weight and feeling like I'm going to crumble. I'm going to know I can't do this because people aren't transforming. All I'm doing is like a vacuum cleaner taking their pain on me, and nothing's changing. Other second, you know, but then a few days later, they're back into the same old patterns again. So slowly, once I become aware of that, that's exactly when this ability to read thought forms, which I had as a child, came back to me only after I had that awareness. And with that, I started working with people and with very clear knowing, I'm not taking anybody's pain. I'm only going to help them transform their own. So this method, in a way, is that gift that I've been waiting for to give for, you know, many lifetimes. But I had to learn first how to do
that. Okay, you're talking about many lifetimes. You talk about you have come from another planet. So how do you know the details? How do you remember this long history?
Well, once you work with your current life, there is the door opens to previous lifetimes. Why? Because there's patterns that we bring, unresolved patterns from previous lifetimes that we need to still work on. Because nothing in existence terminates, so to speak. Everything is a continuation. So there's no end. Whatever seems like an end, it's a beginning. It's a new beginning. So whatever each lifetime gives us an opportunity to work on something, to transform our unconsciousness into consciousness in one area. And we don't manage to do it everything that we have brought. In other words, the thick layer of unconsciousness, we cannot all transform in one lifetime. We need many lifetimes. And every lifetime, we sort of gather new layers and many times repeat the same patterns. So remembering past lives is important, so we see what kind of patterns we are repeating from previous lifetimes that we need to transform. And this method actually will even bring you to some of the past lifetimes. Will help you see. I'll give you an example. I think this is really easy to understand with an example. I had a client. This is a recent case. That's why I like to give this as an example. He came with anxiety. He was feeling very, very strong anxiety. And he had no idea what this anxiety is about. A young man with, married, 5-year-old child. So nice family, very beautiful wife. So, and he's feeling this anxiety and obviously it's affecting his life and his relationship and his family. So when I looked into his energy, I could see that there is a pattern that is a post-traumatic stress, first of all, and the post-traumatic stress is coming from his previous lifetime that he hasn't been able to work through. And what happened in a previous lifetime that was that he was a soldier in Vietnam or Korea, something like that. And he was an American soldier. I think it was Vietnam more so. And he was killed as a soldier. Okay, so then obviously, being a soldier, you see people killed in front of you, you see blood, you see your friends die. It's trauma. This kind of a post-traumatic stress is probably the most stressful for people, because this is something that goes from it's present in every generation. Yeah. So when I worked with his beliefs and thought forms, and we went through that experience, the first thing that came, a lot of emotion and apology to people that he has killed. That's a stressful thing. You see, you're killing people. And you're conscious, you know, in your conscious, this is not right. And you're only a soldier, yeah? Mm-hmm. And you're doing this because somebody up above wants to have a piece of land or a piece of power. And you're just a soldier being, you know,
the executor, pressed into a role, yeah?
Covering all the karma because somebody else wants to, you know,
yes.
Have. So when, and a lot of tears came up. So when he had the memory, he went to the memory. That was one layer that was released. Then another pattern came, which was that he actually, obviously the question, why do you go to war? You're American soldier, you can go or you cannot, it's free, you don't have to go, right? So why did you go to war? So when we came to working with that question, it was he saw that he actually felt overwhelmed with his family responsibilities in that lifetime, and going to war was an escape. So
okay.
After I finished the session with him and he saw that he does not need to escape, I didn't even know this, right? And he felt that I don't need to feel overwhelmed. I can take care of my family. I could take care of myself. Everything's good. After the session, we were finished. He said, you know, only 2-3 weeks ago, I started thinking that I want to enroll in the army.
Mm-hmm.
So now he would have repeated the same pattern.
Same thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was feeling overwhelmed. And it was an escape route for him. He didn't know what to do. So that's why remembering past life is important, because then you see the pattern you're repeating, then you stop it. So, okay.
So does this come up during such exercises, that similar to the one that we had done with me, or how do you?
It does, because if it's a pattern from previous lifetime, it will definitely come up. So that's why I say first you work on your current life, and then many times when people are already ready, they've done already a lot of work, it could take you to the past life right away. Even the active meditation that I have, the No Yes meditation, I don't know if you had a chance to do it.
No.
And that meditation can bring you to past life very quickly, and that can help release a lot of the repressed emotions and thoughts of saying no, because many times we say yes, but we feel like saying no, because the culture, society doesn't allow it. So this meditation gives you an opportunity to release all that repression, and many times it brings you to past life experience. So these are the things that are fun in a way, because mind is involved, your intellect is not involved, and you're having this nice experience, seeing yourself, meeting yourself, and discovering things about yourself, and also discovering that you are free, that actually you don't have to hold back, you don't have to be afraid, and actually go and live your life more fully.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it comes down to that simple point. Yeah. We are free.
That's the beauty of doing this kind of work, you see. And at the end of the day, that's what the miracle is, that, oh my God, I am free, I can do what I want. It's my life, nobody can live it for me. I have to live it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, when I read your book, I think you had one recommendation. It's rather early in the book where you somehow phrased, if I were totally free now, what would I do? Yeah? And that's the best pointer that I really saw. Yeah, that leads to the spot. Yeah?
Yeah.
Allow ourselves freedom.
And also, you know, with this kind of this method, what is also very important is that it opens the third eye, and without you doing any mental work, because why am I not seeing that I'm free? Because the third eye is blocked with all these beliefs also. Yeah? And why we're not seeing that I'm free and I have all the power I need to live my life the way I want is because there is all those beliefs that are sitting in the back of your head, in the back of your body, and everything that you don't want to see, it's all been stored in the back of the body. So we need to work with all of that, all at the same time, sort of like do a big house cleaning.
What is the difference in life between an open third eye and a closed third eye?
When the third eye is open, you see things. You see reality as it is. When the third eye is covered with beliefs, then obviously you're not seeing reality. And many times when the third eye is not open, you're living in the lower chakras. And this is where you're attached to life, attached to people, attached to things. So you stay more in the lower vibration. The opening of the third eye and opening of the crown lifts you up. It's almost like you don't do anything, but you suddenly feel you're being lifted. And it can just happen mentally. People are making such a huge mistake thinking, okay, I'm going to think I'm going to open my third eye, and I'm working on opening my third eye, and the thing is, it does not work. Why? Because before the third eye can open, you also need to be able to ground. You need to have your consciousness in your whole body and ground it in your feet, because if the ground is not there, you're going to be afraid to let go. You see, that's why grounding is absolutely important. And again, grounding does not happen by imagining grounding. It only happens once we release those layers, as we just did. Very simple.
Yeah.
And suddenly you felt your whole body and you felt your feet. Yeah? And once you felt this is ridiculous, that awareness, this is ridiculous, was also felt in your feet. This is the true grounding of that awareness.
Yeah. That was the main effect. I suddenly sensed it in the lower body, yeah, which, I mean, as normally I sense my feet, yeah, but I sensed the fear and I sensed the ridiculousness, until the feet, yeah, so new experience. I've never done such a thing before. Okay.
Breathe large from the back of your head.
Pardon?
Breathe in to the belly and exhale out through the back of your head for a moment. Just try that. Okay, so now what do you feel?
Nothing special at the moment.
What I could see what's happening in your energy. What's happening is there's more strength, and there's more strength that says, I'm not going to be afraid of this past trauma. Whatever this past trauma was, it's not going to affect me because it's done. And there's more strength here because the consciousness came in, it's ridiculous. So there's more strength. And, in other words, that past trauma, whatever happened in your childhood, is not going to have any effect on you anymore. Because the strength...
It's not relevant, yeah? This is intellectually seen, yeah? At least, yeah?
Strength now, with that awareness.
Yeah.
Do you feel it inside?
Not significantly, yeah? It felt comfortable. I did not feel anything in the back of my head. I understood I should breathe out through the back of my head, so there was not really a feeling, but I felt very comfortable.
That's what I mean. The comfortable means there's a strength inside now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That old trauma has no power anymore.
Yeah.
The awareness brought in simultaneously the strength.
Yes. That's always, I mean, anything that I see, as soon as it is seen, then strength and stability come. I know that already, yeah, from other exercises, so to say, yeah.
Now feel that in your belly. Now breathe and exhale through the belly. Just sort of to bring that into the and just say, I'm not afraid of this ridiculous thing anymore.
It's almost a joke already. I'm not afraid of this ridiculous thing anymore.
Say it in
German. Vor diesem Blödsinn habe ich keine Angst mehr.
Now, you see what's happening with your energy. Suddenly it's expanding. And you're ready to dance now. You can dance now. It's like, yay, now let's live life.
It's easy. It's just... Yeah, that's a powerful one anyhow, to breathe in the lower belly, into the lower belly. That is...
Breath is very important, yeah. But you see... Beginning, you held your breath, and now the breath is happening easy.
Yeah. I can see that. I can sense the difference. It's just very relaxing, very easy.
Yeah. That's the power of consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to play with consciousness. But who plays? Yeah.
Don't know what they're missing.
Pardon?
People don't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
People don't even understand many times what is this thing, consciousness.
Yeah.
It's hard for the intellect to understand it. You can only experience it.
Yeah, that was one of the most interesting things when I started meditation in about 8 years ago. It was directed also towards sensing the body and do body scans. Yeah? And I was not used to that, even though I did a lot of sports and was quite aware of the body. But doing body scans is a big difference. There is so much to be discovered there. And then I talk sometimes to people, say, no, sense your body. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. And there's this whole richness of what is happening in the body or what can be sensed in the body. I would not want to miss it for anything in the world. It's always available.
And people feel that they cannot do that because they need approval. They doubt. There's a doubt. Well, what if I'm wrong? Because they've lived that way, because they've been conditioned to doubt themselves. They've been conditioned to need approval from outside.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's why so many people are stuck, and that's why they need this kind of encouragement, that trusting themselves. And that's a process. It's a process that once people experience it once or twice, then it becomes so much easier. So a lot of my work is done still, you know, on the planet, so we all do the best we can. Yeah. So come to Vancouver whenever you can.
Might happen. I have a friend over there.
Yeah. Good. And in February, I have a 7-day retreat in California, Joshua Tree retreat. At Joshua Tree, so that would be a nice one too.
Yeah. I would not go to retreats. Probably. I did it once with the Jesuits when I had done the meditation, and that's where the big openings happened. Yeah, when I suddenly sensed this divine in everything. Yeah, and after that I just I did a couple of satsangs. I did some other exercises. I did some breathing exercises, going deeper into the unconscious. But normally I would not invest in retreats. I think it just does not resonate with me, but maybe it will happen someday. And also I believe somehow, of course, I believe I might be beyond that, yeah? But still there is a lot to discover, as you say. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, maybe something can happen in Germany, so when I'm there, that'll be fun for you to try something more.
Will you come to Germany? Do you have plans?
I will come if there is anybody there able to organize, something that so we can work with and present this method. Absolutely.
And what would be the prerequisites? What would you expect regarding organization?
Well, there needs to be a certain amount of people that will have to be there to attend, obviously. So it makes worthwhile for me to travel and have my expenses covered. So, And I know that there's a lot of readiness, and there's a lot of need actually, especially in Germany, because German people have been very open and very, they've been on the avant-garde of this kind of work for many years. Yeah. And the first people that reached Osho in India were Germans.
Many Germans, yeah, I know.
But we'll see. I have a very good German friend who lives in Vancouver, And she's also a translator. She translates books, so hopefully something can happen. And when the time is right,
it will happen. Yeah. Okay, I think we have come to an end now. Do you, anything that you would like to say?
There's so much to say. Well, nothing that comes to mind, but anybody who obviously is going to listen to this broadcast and would like more information about my work and the book and the CDs, meditations, they can visit my website and madadalian.com. And I also have anyone who wants to work long distance, there's an 8-week online course that is starting in October, which is actually a very powerful course, and that's very international attendance. So I have people from all over the world that attend to that course. It's a limited number of people. It's close to only 20 people to do it because it's very practical work that we do. And working through I identify the thoughts in different chakras. So we work every week chakra by chakra. And I give people work to do how they could clear it. And it's a lot happens in 8 weeks. So that's a favorite of many people who cannot travel. So we do that kind of practical work online.
And there would be 20 people and they would dial in by telephone at the same time, or is it mixed? Okay, so you give a lecture, so to say, and...
I give so much lecture, but what I do, I look into each person's energy. I see I answer their questions personally, because every person is on a different, different place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They need different things. So just giving one lecture to I could look to 100 people, but that's not the same. And that's why it's limited to 20, so that I can work with each individual separately. And then I look into the blockages, what blocks, what kind of beliefs are blocking their energy. And I give them then homework to work on through the week. And we use the different active meditations every week as well. So, and there's a blog. People really like to connect to each other, which is a nice way to share, to see that I'm not alone.
Okay.
Other people hear the same. And then when people blog, they go, this opens up something for me. So that's really nice, when people share their own experiences. So, and so starts middle of October.
Okay.
I do it twice a year, so it's only twice a year, of course.
So let's see if this video can be published before, and maybe somebody steps into this exercise. Another one that interests me, when you mentioned the dynamic meditations, I really love Osho's dynamic meditation, but how to facilitate this in a little village? I mean, there's a lot of noise and energy going on. The neighbors might get some concerns. So what is a good advice regarding that one?
I've been doing 21 days here in Vancouver since 1997, 21-day dynamic meditations. And I found a place which is a community center.
Yeah.
And maybe you have a community center with a gym or a school with a gym. And because it's done early in the morning, that takes care of the noise factor. Yeah? So you can... we start here 6 in the morning. So, and this particular community center is, it's right opposite the beach and the forest, and there's nobody around. So we make all the noise we want. So we've been lucky here in Vancouver.
Yeah. And the dynamic without noise doesn't make sense. You cannot even start it.
Yes, you might like that one too. It's also noisy, but community gym. or school gym. Mm-hmm.
What did you say? There was an interruption of the sound. Which one should I try?
Oh, the no yes. The no yes. Yeah.
Who developed it? Did you develop it, or is it an Osho meditation?
I developed it based on Osho's suggestion. It was in a Dashran diary I read. And I just added silence in between because I felt that people needed silence. He suggested in the Dashran diary to somebody to do 40 minutes no, say no, and then 20 minutes yes. And then I felt that it needed silence because people couldn't jump from the saying no to saying yes. And so I worked on with a musician. I worked for almost a year to develop music that would work perfectly to hammer those areas, to wake up those areas where people have repressed their no. So the music is, people love the music because it immediately helps you go into the no. So you do no for half an hour and then silence for 15 minutes and then yes for the next 15 minutes, and you can dance with that as well.
So it's just saying no for half an hour?
Yeah.
Or shouting no, or expressing no, going to no, okay. Just overcome the blockages there. Yeah. Many people cannot say no, have trouble saying no. That's the idea, I guess. Huh?
And you can. That's where you can also feel that sometimes some of the no's are coming from your past life or some other experiences coming from past life. Mm-hmm. They just suddenly surface. So, Jessica didn't send you that meditation link?
No. Okay. A link? Maybe, yeah, but I don't think so, no.
Well, if you don't have it, just ask her to send you a link.
Yes.
Yeah, so okay. You can... That you could do it at home. So you could take a pillow.
Yeah, that's fun. I try to play with such exercises.
Small village. I don't know. You can probably have some spot in nature. You can do dynamic. You know, I had one person here. He was a dentist, and. He did many 21-day intensive dynamics with me. And he loved it so much that I used to do only twice a year. I do these big things only twice a year. So he loved it so much that he wanted to continue after the 21 days that I finished. So we have a big park here called Stanley Park, and it's all nature. It's all woods. So he would go there and... do his dynamic there.
With a.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's another idea. Yeah.
Yeah, except one day it was a funny story. One day he was doing it and he opened his eyes and he saw there was a street person sleeping next there. But the person was sleeping, there was no problem. But he felt his space was invaded because he was using that space for a year, but it was bothering him. Suddenly there was somebody there. So he changed his spot, he went to a different spot, and that spot, somehow people nearby heard it, and they called the police.
Yeah, of course.
And what do you do? I'm meditating. What do you mean you're meditating? You're shouting. Well, I'm meditating, and you can ask my wife. So they call. And his wife just doesn't answer the phone because she's sleeping. It's like early in the morning. Yeah. So he insists. He goes, please try again. She's probably sleeping. So they keep trying, and then she finally answers. And says, what is your husband doing out in the Stanley Park? Well, he's meditating. They couldn't believe that doing dynamic is a meditation, right?
And what a meditation, and what a meditation. I just recently saw it in a festival in Latvia, so it was an amazing festival. Could be one for you, maybe, if you come over to Europe. They had about 90 different events within 8 days, and they offered the dynamic meditation every morning. And I had done it before once, and I did it 3 or 4 times that week, and that really had an effect, getting the stuff stirred. And this is a great meditation, but the normal people don't understand it. It's a pity. It's a pity they have a treasure and they cannot see it.
Exactly. But you know, as they say, all geniuses come ahead of their time. So. So you're lucky that you recognized it. Many people don't, but that's what happens.
Yeah, that keeps me going and doing these interviews just to broaden the area for that, that people can get into contact with us.
The more people hear it, you know, even when people hear, oh, somebody experienced this and somebody experienced that through dynamic and somebody even experienced enlightenment, okay, I want it. Human nature.
It's just opening spaces, I think.
That's all we do. And thanks for the technology that is available, which makes such a huge difference, makes everything so much easier. And
We can produce this video easily. Also, a lot of videos of many, many teachers are available on the internet. That helped me a lot. When I really had these openings and I did not know what to do, did not have any support, I started looking and found some stuff that resonated. That was very, very helpful. Everybody has different tastes, so the variety plays a role. So get up as much as possible, and then the people can find.
That's right. And when they're ready, they do.
No need to be ready, but it's an option. Okay, my dear.
Pleasure talking to you. Yes.
Pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much. And we will release as soon as possible.
Yes, absolutely good. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch again, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I also have this feeling. Bye-bye. Okay.